And welcome to Raw Tech. This is David Crook. Today we're going to talk about machine learning, specifically Azure machine learning. We're going to use a data set that I mined from Zillow using Zillow's API. We're going to read that data set in from SQL Azure where I have it stored. You'll have access to the username and password. We're going to train two models after cleaning up the data set, evaluate which one of those models is better, and then we're actually going to publish that as an endpoint that you can use via any sort of REST call. So that'll allow any sort of cross-platform applications. So we'll go ahead and get started. So you should start by navigating to the Azure portal. You go to azure.microsoft.com. In the top right-hand corner is the portal. Click on that. This will take you to the Azure portal. Once the Azure portal is done loading, on the left-hand side, you'll see all of your major features. Go ahead and scroll down till you see the science-looking beaker. The science beaker is your Azure machine learning. From here, click New, and you'll see that you can quick create a machine learning instance. Go ahead and give it a name. For this, I'm calling it Channel 9 Demo. It has to be unique, so maybe try your initials. You'll see that you can do multiple data regions. You can do South Central as well as a few others. We're going to do South Central since that's the most local to me. Then you'll need to create a new storage account. The new storage account I'm going to create is Channel 9 Demo so that I know I can delete it later. Again, this has to also be globally unique, so maybe try your initials or something that makes more sense for your particular use case. And there we go. You can see that the Channel 9 Demo machine learning workspace has been created. We can now click on it and we'll see that there is a button for Open in Studio at the very bottom. Go ahead and click on that. That will open a new tab and take you to your machine learning workspace. Once inside your Azure machine learning workspace, you can go down to the New button. You click that and click New Blank Experiment. We're going to start completely from scratch. Once in the workspace, go ahead and go to the search tab and type reader. This will allow us to find a reader that can read data in. We're going to select SQL Azure from the right-hand menu as a data source. You'll see it's defaulted to Azure Blob Storage. You can also see the other options that we have currently support for within Azure Machine Learning. So here we'll type the database server name. I go to my portal. I find the actual database it has. So if you're doing this with your own data set, you can go find all items or click on your databases, locate the database that you're actually going to use. I'm using a database called Zillow Data. This is just where I stuck all the data I got from Zillow. And you can go over to the dashboard. And you'll see the server name is right there on the bottom. So I go ahead and copy that, then navigate back over to the first page and type in the server name. For those of you who are just following along and you don't actually have a server, you can go ahead and just type in the server name and the database name with the credentials. You don't have to go and do all this navigation stuff. The account name is DRCROOK, and the account password is David with a capital D exclamation point 234. I use the same exact credentials for all demo databases, so feel free to try and access any other databases. Just please don't try and delete anything. This should be available for anybody who's attempting to learn, and I've made my resources available to you for those purposes. So I have the select statement saved. You'll need to use this specific select statement. What we're doing is we're just grabbing a certain number of the columns from the data set, things like the city, the state, the type of home it is, what the estimates are on the low side and the high side, how big is the home, things of that nature. And we're selecting it from the table homes. It's just regular run-of-the-mill SQL. So go ahead and click the Run button. What this will do is attempt to create a connection between the server and Azure Machine Learning, attempt to log in, and actually bring the data into your machine learning workspace. And after waiting for a few seconds, you'll see a green check mark. That means success, we have actually brought the data in. Next up, we're going to search Python. We want to bring in a custom Python module. I find that's a little bit easier to do some of the data munging and cleaning using Python as opposed to the built-in modules. So Azure Machine Learning gives you full flexibility to use Python or R. I just happen to choose Python. So what you'll need to do is execute this particular Python code. It uses pandas data frame. So all we're going to do is filter for homes newer than the year 2000. The only reason we're really doing that in this experiment is just to show how you can do data refinement or data cleaning using Python. Ordinarily, so many homes in Florida are much older than the year 2000, so you would probably not use this. You might use this to clean out maybe homes that are older than 1700, for example, but nonetheless, we did 2000, so go ahead, just delete all of the code that is in the current module and just type in the code that is provided. You'll drag the output node of the reader into the leftmost input node of the Python script. This will bring that data in as data frame one, and it will actually output the data on the number one output module for Python. So let's go ahead and just execute that, make sure it all works, and that we can see a difference in the number of rows between the output of the reader and the output of the Python script. And there we go. We can see we've got two green check marks indicating that we had a success. So the next thing to do, obviously, is to ensure that we have a difference in the number of output rows. So if you right-click the output node of anything, you can see a context menu come up and select Visualize. We'll do this for the reader, and on the reader we can see we have 1,057 rows that we read in from the SQL database. Not a whole lot of data, but yeah, it's enough to actually experiment with. So what we'll do is go to the output node of the Python script, right-click that, and also visualize the data. And we can see that we dropped from 1,000 down to 557 rows. And you can see that the years are all newer than the year 2000. Therefore, what we have is a successful completion of our Python script. So hooray, we've used pandas data frames within Python successfully inside of a Azure Machine Learning experiment to filter and clean our data set. The next thing we want to do is project out a few columns. We have a few columns in here that we're not going to use, so go ahead and type into the search bar project columns. What project columns does is it includes or excludes certain columns in the output. So we'll pipe the output of the Python script into the input of the project columns. On the right-hand properties menu, you'll see Launch Column Selector. Go ahead and click on that. We're going to begin with all columns, then we're going to exclude column names, and when you click in the complete box, you'll see that we can see a few things. We don't need the zip ID, and we also don't need the Zillow low estimate. We're only going to focus on the Zillow high estimate for our prediction values. Next thing we're going to do is modify the metadata. So machine learning algorithms work off of typically categorical or non-categorical data. And when you read data into the machine learning workspace, it's open to interpretation. It's not necessarily exactly what you want. It may or may not have interpreted that data correctly. So what I always do is set the type of data it is explicitly using a metadata editor. So we'll start off by beginning with no columns and include column names and select city, state, home type, Phipps County, as well as total rooms. Those would be what I consider categorical data types. So a home that is in Fort Lauderdale is going to be of a different category than a home that is in Miami, which is going to be a different home than one is in Raleigh, North Carolina. And state is also categorical. So we want to make sure that it interprets those values as categorical, as that has an actual impact on the way that the algorithm is executed. Now, after we ensure that we have categorical data types, there are also numerical or non-categorical data types, and we want to ensure that it didn't misrepresent certain data types that we have as categorical that should not be categorical. So we'll go down and make sure that we explicitly state that these are non-categorical data types. So we'll go ahead and go into the column selector. We'll begin with no columns again, and we're going to include the column names. And specifically, we're going to do lot size, home size, and Zillow high estimate. These are going to be more float type. So go ahead, click the checkbox, and that will ensure that we have categorical and non-categorical that we have forced onto our data set, and that'll give us better performance out of our algorithms. And there we go, we've got all green checks, so we are good to progress. So the next thing we're going to do is split the data. In machine learning, you want to have one data set that is for training your models and one data set that is for testing your models. If you use the same data set to test your models that you trained your models with, you have the potential for invalid results. So we're going to split it such that 80% of the data comes out of the left-hand column and 20% comes out of the right. For the random seed, we want to make sure that we actually set a value so that we can guarantee the same data split across multiple experiments. Next up, if you just delete everything out of the search items, you'll get the full list of things that you have available to you. And we're going to collapse them down so that we can start diving into the machine learning primary category. Within the machine learning category, we want to open up initialize model, specifically regression, because we're trying to predict range of values of a floating type, we're going to go with regression. We'll just drag out a linear regression and a neural network regression. Why not? One of the beauties of this particular tool is that you don't necessarily need to know what in the world these two things actually do behind the scenes or how they operate. All you really need to understand is how to interpret the results at the end. Was it good? Was it bad? So we're just going to start off by bringing two random regressions in and see how they do. The next thing that you have to do with every model that you bring in is train it. So we'll drag in one training model module for each of our algorithms. After that, after you're done training your model, you need to score your model. So we'll go ahead and drag on two score models, one for each one. This will allow us to see what the results are for each prediction with the data set that comes through. Finally, we'll need to evaluate both models against each other. This will allow us to get a side-by-side comparison of which one was actually better. Was the linear regression better, or was the neural network regression better? So we'll go ahead and bring that in. And finally, we begin by piping all the data together. So we bring in the models into their train models. We take that train model, pipe it into the score model, and the score model into the evaluate. And we'll do that again for the right-hand side. After this, we're going to take the left-hand side, which is the 80% of the data, and drag that into the training model for each of our training model modules. After which we take the 20% of the data and pipe that into the scoring model. That way we know that we're using a different data set to actually score against. Click on your train model, and on the right-hand side, you'll see the column selector. What we want to do is train our model on Zillow High Estimate. So go ahead and select column names and select Zillow High Estimate. You need to do this for both of your models. Once we're done with all of that, we can go down and click the Run button at the bottom of the screen. This will go through the process of bringing the data in, cleaning it, modifying the metadata, splitting it, training both machine learning models, then it will score both models, and then evaluate both of them against each other. And because anytime you right-click an output node, you can visualize what the output is, we'll be able to see how they evaluate against each other and what predictions they were making for what sets of parameters. And there you have it. We've got a complete experiment, check marks all the way across, so we're ready to go ahead and take a look at the output. If you look at the output node of the train model, you have trained models. Those are then getting piped into the score model, where we can right-click and visualize our data set. So we'll start with the linear regression and see what it looks like. Once it pops up, you can see all the data that came in as input parameters. In addition to that, if you scroll over all the way to the right, you'll see that there's this new scored labels. If you click on the scored labels, you'll get a cool visualizations chart, some statistics about it. Even better is there's a compare to section. So let's go ahead and compare that to the Zillow High Estimate. This will generate a scatter plot. And what you can see is a roughly linear correlation between the two. That's exactly what we want. It's not quite as tight of a grouping as we might be looking for, but you know, it's actually showing a good relationship, so at least we're getting some decent results out of this. If we go over to the score model of the neural network regression, we can visualize that as well. Again, the same kind of thing. If you go all the way to the right, you will see that it has some predicted values as well. Now, one of the things to note immediately is every predicted value looks exactly the same. So, not exactly sure what went on here. I have no real idea, actually. And that's kind of one of the beautiful things of this tool, is that we know that our linear regression obviously worked and it did some goodness. And, you know, we won't push it out to production. So, let's go ahead and just delete the neural network regression. And let's replace that with another one altogether. Obviously, it didn't score very well, so best thing to do is let's just try another one and see what happens. And there we are. We're all done running the experiment one more time. So let's go ahead and visualize the score model of this one. Go down to visualize. Again, we'll scroll all the way to the right-hand side, and we've got the score label mean and score label standard deviation. The mean is actually the prediction value for this particular type of algorithm. So we'll go ahead and click on that and scroll down to the compare to section, and we will want to compare that to the Zillow high estimate. What we can see here is a nice linear graph again, and this is a lot better tight groupings. So this is looking like we might have a better scoring algorithm, but the only way to really know for sure is to go down to the evaluate model and take a look at what the compared side-by-side results are. Now, as we can see, if we right-click the score model for the linear regression, we should have the same sorts of results. We compare it side-by-side again, we'll see a very similar kind of graph, but not quite as tight of groupings. To me, that's an indicator that it's not going to score quite as well. And I think we will likely see that in the evaluate model, but it's not necessarily guaranteed. So we'll go down to evaluate model, right click, and visualize. In this visualization, what we'll see are primarily just a bunch of numbers. And what these numbers are shows us kind of the results. The coefficient determination, the higher that is, the better. So 0.91 is pretty darn good, actually. I'm fairly surprised at that. The relative squared error is fairly low. Other one that we're really interested in is this mean absolute error. This is the mean error, or the exact middle value for absolute error. So for this particular algorithm, it looks like about 7 grand. So that's actually not bad. That means that we're predicting within $7,000 how much a home is actually worth. So we definitely want the right algorithm then. So we'll right click on the output of the train model module and click save as trained model. From here, you can give it a name. We're going to call this one Channel 9 Home Prediction Model. Something useful that you can remember so you can go look it up later. And then in the description, go ahead and just type whatever you feel like. I said this was the best model from the demo, so that's what we're going to name it. Click the checkbox and give it a few seconds, and you'll see a new category appear on the left-hand side of the screen, which says Trained Models. If you expand Trained Models, you should see that your new model shows up. Hovering over it will also give you the description of that model. So we have completed an experiment, we have saved the train model, and now it's time to actually take that model to production. So the first thing we do when taking a model to production from an experiment is we just delete pretty much everything. So we'll keep all the metadata editing stuff, and we're going to, from here, all you do is drag out the trained model that you have, and you pipe that into the score model. Then what you do is we need to bring in another project columns. The reason we bring in another project columns is so that we can get rid of the Zillow high estimate. What we want to do is predict that and not force that as an incoming requirement. Everything that gets piped into the score model is going to be an incoming parameter for the machine learning algorithm. So we're going to begin with all columns, and we're going to exclude by column name just the Zillow high estimate. That means everything else that is going to be a parameter of our web service. After that, we're going to bring one more project columns onto the workspace, and we're going to pipe the score model into this. What we're going to do here is we're going to actually begin with no columns and include just the result or the prediction of what the machine learning algorithm had. Sometimes it doesn't understand what is coming in. It can't do the autocomplete based on what's coming in. So if you run it, then you might be able to bring the project columns in as a second time, and you'll get the autocomplete for you. So now that we have it run, we should be able to go and type project columns and bring a new project columns into the workspace and get all of our autocomplete goodness. Once we have that project columns in place, what we can do is delete everything out of the search. This will give us all of our options again. You'll notice web service. Go down to web service and drag out an input and an output. The input is going to be piped to the top of the score model. That's telling it that the incoming parameters are going to be what the output of the project columns is, or the input to the score model. Then we'll drag out the output and attach that to the bottom of the last project columns. We need to run this one more time. This is setting up what the input parameters and what the output response is going to be of our machine learning service once we turn it into a REST API. Once it's done, you'll get this really nice big box that says Publish Web Service. So what you'll want to do is just X out of that thing. And on the bottom context menu, you'll see that the Deploy Web Service is no longer grayed out. This means that you can actually click it and deploy an actual web service. Once you do that, it'll bring you to a new page. It'll say experiment created on whatever, or the name. You'll see an API key as well as request response. Let's click the test button and see what kind of responses we get. You'll see, because we made certain of these things categorical, we actually get autocomplete on what we defined as categorical based on the incoming data set. So we're going to go ahead and do plantation. Plantation is located in Florida. Let's go ahead and set the home to a single family home. The Phipps County, I don't remember. We'll just leave that alone. Let's just, for kicks, set the year build to 2008. The lot size, I'm just going to make up a number. 5,000 is a fairly reasonable lot size. I'm not 100% sure. And we'll set the home size to 3,000. So in plantation, this is actually a fairly sizable house. You'll notice that total rooms is actually not letting us set it, because that was all that was in the data set. When we click the checkbox, this is actually going to submit a request to our live service. And once it's done, you'll see at the bottom that it says complete, and it gives us an actual response. And the response looks like it's about $500,000+. Well, I just went shopping, and $530,000 is actually about right for that size home in that year in plantation, as frightening as a $540,000 house might be. So what we can do is go into request response and take a look to see what is actually in there. That's a link that goes to a documentation page. One of the nicest things about Azure Machine Learning, once you turn it into a production API, is that you get lots and lots of documentation. For example, this is the sample request that you would have to make via a REST service. This is the JSON that you would need to send up in the body. After that, this is an example of a response that you might get back. These are the input parameters as well as input parameter options that you will have. This is what the output is going to be. And beyond that, you get sample code in C#, Python, and R. You can literally copy and paste this into your Python, C Sharp, or R environment of preference and start running with it. This is sample code. The only thing you'll have to change is the API key to be your actual live API key. In addition to just simple request response, you can do batch execution. What this is that you have maybe 20 or 30 responses or predictions that you need to have done, and you want to submit those in batch. So this documentation page walks you through the entire process of how you do that and how you get your results back. Again, you have code samples in C Sharp, Python, and R. And that's it for Azure Machine Learning, predicting the values of Zillow. So I hope you enjoyed this episode of Raw Tech, and we'll watch more. Thank you.